This morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, entitled The Atrocities of King Kansa, text number 2. Thereafter, all the watchmen very quickly approached King Kansa, the ruler of the Bhoja dynasty, and submitted the news of the birth of Devaki's child. Kansa, who had awaited this news very anxiously, immediately took action. Responsibly, please repeat. Thereafter, all the watchmen very quickly approached King Kansa, the ruler of the Bhoja dynasty, and submitted the news of the birth of Devaki's child. Kansa, who had awaited this news very anxiously, immediately took action. Report by Sri Prabhupada. Kansa was very anxiously waiting because of the prophecy that the eighth child of Devaki would kill him. This time, naturally, he was awake and waiting. And when the watchman approached, he immediately took action to kill the child. Thereafter, all the watchmen very quickly approached King Kansa, the ruler of the Bhoja dynasty, and submitted the news of the birth of Devaki's child. Kansa, who had awaited this news very anxiously, immediately took action. So King Kansa is the ruler of the Bhoja dynasty. He is also ostensibly a non-devotee of Krishna, although behind the scene he is a great devotee of the Lord. But for the purposes of his lila with Krishna, in the material world, he is acting as an archetypical demon. He has usurped the kingdom from his father, imprisoning his own father, his own parents. This happens in the real world. He has annihilated all his political opponents, and he is certainly a very devious and a very ruthless autocrat, and he's very much attached to his position. In the material world, we find that every one of us is trying to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have come here to this material world for that purpose. Otherwise, we were already in the spiritual world as the servant of God. Krishna is served in his abode by unlimited numbers of Lakshmis or Gopis. Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasangrama Sevyaman. So, somehow or other, it is not exactly clear, but we have developed an envious attitude towards the Supreme. Nikatastha Mayatare Javatiyatare Krishna Bhagyam Mukha Bhagavansukare. The moment you become envious of Krishna, you cannot stay in the association of Krishna. There is no possibility, because the Krishna is the fountainhead of all rasa, is akila rasamrita murti. So every relationship and every action, every sentiment is directed towards Krishna. And if one is thinking that he is equal to Krishna or greater than Krishna, then that mood is contradictory and one cannot stay. So Krishna is very kind. He gives us a chance to try our best to become the Supreme. He gives us this material world. It is a place where we can reform our attitude. It is a place where we can purify our existence and then return back to the spiritual world. Krishna wants all of us to come back to Him. He doesn't like to see us suffering here. We are suffering, for gods, we're not very good gods. We're born in stool and urine, covered with abominable substances. We're relatively ugly. We suffer from pains continuously. We're sometimes experiencing opulence, sometimes poverty. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're distressed. We're constantly plagued by miseries due to nature and other living beings and our own infirmity. So, someone tried to coin a phrase, the Ridra Narayana, that we are also God, but we are Daridra, and most specifically the poor. They are to be worshipped because they are Daridra Narayana. But this is a contradiction in terms, because Lakshmi Narayana can never be Daridra Narayana. Lakshmi Pati is always surrounded by unlimited opulence. So, under illusion, we are thinking that we are the enjoyers, and we become very much attached to whatever we have. We try to acquire so many facilities, deha, apatya, kalatra, adishu, so many types of paraphernalia for our sense gratification. But everything in this material world is transitory. Everything is constantly changing. Everything is moving. Time and tide, the tide of the ocean, they don't wait for anyone. Everything is moving forward in time. We're getting older. We're suffering the fruits of our purva karma. So it's a paradise for a fool, for a madman. Deha patra kalatradishu atma sainyeshu asatsati. We take shelter of the asat sainyeshu, fallible soldiers. We take shelter of things which are alien to our very existence. We have nothing to do with any of this. In fact, our original abode with Krishna is so much better. There, every tree is a Kalpavriksha tree. Why should we settle for a seasonal tree that only gives one kind of fruit? And that, at very best, oftentimes the fruits are sour, oftentimes the fruits are damaged, oftentimes the fruits are imperfect, are stolen. Not just fruits get stolen. There's a farm somewhere and his fruits get stolen. Whatever. This is a bad bargain. We belong in a much better place. Our father is so opulent and so wealthy. We just have to acknowledge that we are the sons of the Father, that we are obedient, that we are the servant. That's all. It's not a big sacrifice. And we can live in a much better place. But due to foolishness, due to inexperience, due to stubbornness, due to pride, due to false ego, we haven't learned our lesson yet. So we become attached, very much attached, to our little arrangement. Oh, just see what a nice arrangement I have made. My nice house with my nice Maruti car and my nice television set, Onida, my nice this, and I've got all the status quo things. I've got everything that a good Bombayite should have. And I'm on the move. I'm making progress. My business is growing. Pretty soon they're going to profile me in Business Week, and you know, my wife is in Star and Style. It's madness. It's madness. Because you can't, it's all simply a grand illusion. You get attached to it, and then when there's some threat, you become an anxiety. Even the threat may be a prophecy. It may be something now. There's so many prophecies facing us, right? It's not that they didn't face us at the beginning of the 19th century or the 18th or the 17th, but here we are at the beginning of the 21st century, and there are so many prophecies. And everybody is disturbed. Everybody is in distress because they're going to lose all the nice things that they've organized. And the prospect of that is not very good. People don't like the idea. They have all their wealth and all of their opulences and all of their attachments cut away. There's some pain involved. That's what concepts do. It's constantly an anxiety because he's heard that the eighth child of Devaki will kill him. Now, if he believes in the actual prophecy, then he must know that his death is inevitable. If you believe in the fact that a prophecy can portend danger or truth, if you believe that a prophecy can be true, then you should expect that the actual prophecy will be fulfilled. He should just start to chant his rounds, do his gayatris, and prepare for death. But he's in anxiety. He wants to try to stop Devaki. He wants to try to kill the threat against his life. We're all under threat. Today, next week, the year 2000, the year 22,000, sometime, we're going to be killed by the eighth child of somebody. No anxiety. We should live joyfully every moment in Krishna consciousness. Trust How's that? Trust not the future, nor know. Trust not the past that sleeps, nor in the future dwell at all, but live with times that are with thee, and progress ye shall call. Beautiful expression. Be here now. That's what he wants. Be with Krishna now. The Kansa, you know, he sees these approaching watchmen, and it's immediately, he doesn't even have to wait for them to explain everything, because he's already anticipating what they have to say. He knows. Immediately jumps into action. I will kill, I will defend, I will defeat my enemies. I will go forth, I will conquer. I will be victorious. I have made my plans. This Devaki and her child, they cannot interfere with me. We have to accept that Krishna is the supreme controller. We have to accept that those who follow Krishna's plan, those who cooperate with Krishna, they can live peacefully in this material world. Those who rebel against Krishna, they will be defeated. Krishna told Arjuna, all these soldiers have already been killed. It's already been done because I have willed it. You simply have to cooperate with me. Your duty as a devotee is to understand my desire and participate. And then you will become glorious. I know you're not anxious to become glorious, but more than glorious, you will become Krishna conscious, you will become peaceful and happy, which is what you want. No amount of fighting against the will of God is going to bring you any peace of mind. Just like no amount of fighting in Bombay, you can't win. There's so much competition. There are so many factors. People are, you know, just when they think everything is going good, something which they hadn't considered turns the whole tide, turns the whole state of affairs, turns their whole fortune upside down. They never could have calculated, but it happens beyond their imagination. Material energy is so powerful. Mama Maya Gulapyaya. What's the key? Mama Maya Gulapyaya. My only comfort in every situation, we have to surrender to Krishna, whether auspicious or inauspicious. At the beginning of our life or at the end of our life, whether it's Komara Acharet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavaniha, whether we're 5 years old and starting our education, or whether it's Ante Narayana Smriti, at the end, and all the way through, yat karoshi, yat achnasi, yat juhosi, vidasiya, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat karusha madarpanam. How to surrender to Krishna? Krishna makes it very obvious. The Bhagavad Gita is the ABC. If you want to understand the Bhagavad Gita, it's not difficult. The question here is, are you prepared to cut away your attachments? Are you prepared to leave your happiness up to Krishna? Are you prepared to allow Him to guide your chariot, so to speak? Are you prepared to allow Him to direct you, to follow His instructions? Are you prepared to follow His instructions? Even though on the horizon, to your vision, it may not look so good. Everybody says, what will happen if I surrender to Krishna? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my education? What will happen to my fortune? What will happen if I surrender to Krishna? Don't you think if Krishna can organize the cosmos? Don't you think that if Krishna can organize all the planets in the sky, Don't you think if Krishna can organize the subterranean worlds, he can organize the oceans, he can organize everything so well, either directly or indirectly, that Krishna can organize your life also? He can take care of you, he can feed you. If you become his devotee, he's going to desert you? No. But are we willing to pay that price of surrendering to him? When we see the watchman approach, are we going to be in anxiety? Are we going to react? Or are we going to say, here is a great opportunity for me to surrender to Krishna? When I'm in danger, when I experience some difficulty, do I take it as a challenge to fight, to put up my defenses, or do I take it as an opportunity to see the truth, to see Krishna's hand, to see his blessing? Kansa was awake. That's good. Kansa was waiting. That's also good. We should be alert. We should be awake. But our attitude, our consciousness has to change. We should be awake looking for Krishna's guidance, for the signs. The signs are there everywhere. Krishna will show you the path. He will teach you through the Vaishnavas. He will teach you through transcendental literature, namely Srila Prabhupada's books. They are the best transcendental literature, especially at this time. He will teach you through kirtan. He will teach you by experience. You will make mistakes, and you will apologize for your mistakes, and you will learn. Making mistakes is not bad, but making mistakes twice, that's bad. Make a mistake. Go out and do things for Krishna. Consult. Try to understand your relationship with Krishna. Try to hear his guidance. Go out and preach. It's not that we stay back in fear. There's one version that I read about of the Mahabharata, where Maharaj Parikshit hears that there is a snake going to bite him, so he builds a tower. And he hides in the tower to protect himself. We're not interested in taking shelter of material towers. We can boldly preach, fearlessly preach. We are under the protection of Krishna's lotus feet. We have nothing to fear. There's nothing in all the three worlds that can defeat us. Krishna's ajita. He's unconquerable. He becomes jita only by his devotee's fearless attitude to preach his glories. He becomes proud of his devotees who take the trouble to go out and spread his message, even despite so many prophecies. We can make prophecies. Everyone is going to get old, everyone is going to get diseased, everyone is going to die. It's a prophecy. And I think it will come true. The astrologers have been saying it for a long time. And so many other. Nostradamus died. He didn't have to say it. He just did it. We're also, this will-o'-the-wisp, this material world, it's a temporary dukkalayama shashvatam. We have nothing to do here. There's nothing stable here. Nothing significant. The only thing important here is that which can help us become attached to Krishna's lotus feet. The only thing important, the only two rules in Krishna consciousness, accepting everything favorable for loving Krishna and rejecting everything unfavorable. The basic points of Krishna consciousness are very easy, simple for those who are simple in heart. And every day we should come here to become inspired and go out in the daytime and be Krishna conscious devotees. We come here to recharge our batteries, to chant our rounds, to see the deities, to hear the activities of Lord Krishna. And then we go out into the world where, insulated from Maya's contamination, just like someone who goes into a very sick area, an area where there is quarantine, perhaps a leopard colony, or I don't know. There are so many examples of people who have contagious diseases. Maybe leprosy is not contagious, I don't know. But it's used as an example. So there's a chance of getting infected, but if you get yourself properly immunized, vaccinated, or whatever the procedure is, you don't necessarily have to take, you can take neem leaves as vaccination. That's also one kind of Ayurvedic vaccination. I'm not promoting allopathy. The point is, if you immunize yourself in Krishna consciousness by a strong morning program, then you will not be afraid of all the miseries, of all the anomalies, of all the difficulties that we see all around us, affecting us. When devotees have, when they have difficulty chanting their rounds, when they have difficulty following the morning program, when they don't prepare themselves, when they're not alert and awake and waiting, then they also get influenced by Maya's snare, by material attachment, by so many things. So it's a very simple process for those who want to take it. And Kansa will see how his he has this illusion that the eighth child is there in his prison house. The eighth child has already left, and how he changes his mind. But then later on, by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna is the time factor, Kala. Kalosmi Vartasava, time I am, the destroyer of worlds. So we have to get, either you surrender willingly, anukulyena, Krishna Shilana, or if you pratikul, unfavorably, you will be forced to surrender to Krishna. The better we take the example of Kamsa, and actually the better we take the example of Maharaj Pariksit, the better we take the example of Arjuna, the better we take the example of the great Vaishnavas. We can take the example of Kamsa, how not to act. Everything Kamsa does is wrong. Kamsa is a typical demon, and we can study his character to understand the demon within all of us. That's right. The demon within all of us. There is a demon there, a potential demon. And we can study the activities of Kamsa and say, do I act like that? Am I something? Do I do like Kamsa? Do I get attached? Materially attached? Do I base my actions upon my attachments? Am I prepared? Am I prepared to get up and walk out of this beautiful temple and project, if that's what Krishna wants, and live in a hut and execute my devotional service just as enthusiastically. If my car is in the garage, am I prepared to go out and still distribute books or make life memories or whatever it is? Or am I attached? I can't do without my facilities. We have to ask ourselves these questions. And we have to try our best to purify our lives. Everyone, chatur, vidha, vajante, mam, jana, sukriti, you know, the four kinds of devotees who approach Krishna. So, we're also in those categories. We're not different. But the point is, utsaham, nishtya, darya, tat tat karma pravartana. Try to correct your life. Try to perfect your life. Try to give up your attachments. Try to see. When you hear the Bhagavatam, remember that Prabhupada is first of all preaching to us. These books, okay, they are for the hundreds of millions out there, no doubt. But there's not a great chance that every one of them is going to get a book and read it. We hope so. That's our vision, our attempt. But there's more chance that we will hear. And Prabhupada is preaching to us. So all of these points are meant for us to assimilate. When we become perfect, when we become surrendered, when we become purified, then our preaching will have an effect. When our consciousness is clean, when the anarthas are clean from our heart, when our lust, our anger, our greed are subdued, transformed, then people will be very attracted. It's the greatest opulence that we have. The greatest opulence is our devotees. They're the most important asset in the whole temple. Otherwise, the buildings, the ashram, all the other facilities, they're simply sadguna, they're material. They're being used in Krishna's service, but if they're not being used in Krishna's service, then it just remains a museum. There are museums like this you can walk around and see. There are even temples in Vrindavan that are no longer really used as temples. They're old, you can look at them, oh, nice architecture, all of that. They look at they did then, 500 years ago. Very nice. But you don't get inspired to serve Krishna, you just think, oh, good architecture, nice. What makes this a dynamic place is the purity, the humility, the sincere desire to grow in spiritual life. That desire in the heart of even one devotee, or even a few devotees, or even the whole temple, why not? That's what attracts people here. That's what keeps them coming back again. That is the opulence. So we should renounce the false opulence, or at least renounce it by engaging it only in Krishna's service, and try to accumulate the real opulences. Simplicity, purity, cleanliness, straightforwardness, non-duplicitous dealings, the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. We should concentrate on those. Then we can face any situation. We'll have nothing to fear, nothing to lament. Instead of being conscious, we'll become Arjunas will become Krishna's choice. A temple like Bombay is right in the forefront of the preaching. So we have a lot of work to do. We have to go forth and preach. We have to give people the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we can be compared not to someone sitting in Vrindavan. There are devotees who are in Vrindavan doing their bhajan, and they're very nice. But Srila Prabhupada taught us to die preaching. Through Srila Prabhupada's personal example, he never retired. But to keep ourselves strong, to make ourselves, to transform ourselves into real preachers who make a difference in the world, who change the world, who stop, who turn back the tide of prophecies. To do that, we have to purify our own lives. Save yourself first. Most important instruction. So, this is a short purport. I had actually intended to go on to the next purport. Unfortunately. Anyway, I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Nayan Ranjan. Thank God for Nayan Ranjan. He always asks questions. Good.
Maharaj, you're talking about prophecies. You've been also giving a series of lectures on the prophecies in the 21st century.
You weren't there.
So
I could say anything.
So I also heard in Vrindavan, Bhanu Swami gave a seminar and he said that the nakshatras in the 1999, mid 1999, they will become almost the same as that of the first and second World War. So the mid 1999, the third World War is.
But we survived the third and second World War. I mean, it was rough. In those days, the second World War was so much more devastating than the first World War because they had airplanes. For the first time, they could drop bombs from the sky. And they dropped nuclear weapons, and they did so much. But still, some of our other things went on. Anyway, even if everything is annihilated, what does it matter 20 years this way or that way? If you have knowledge that I'm going to die, this is not a permanent place, then it really doesn't matter 20 years this way or that way. And if it's a prophecy and it's going to come true, then your scurrying around is not going to save it. It's still going to happen. Of course, it's one of Prabhupada's instructions to create farms and be self-sufficient. But it's not like the whole society has to get into a frantic hysteria. We can assign a group of people to do that work, no problem. It's good. Why not? If it pushes us a little quicker towards self-sufficiency, great. But for the preachers, our work is in the city. The ladies, the children, and some farmers like that, they should go and prepare in the farms.
Like Maharaj, the city of Mumbai is like a prime target in India. Because city is 60% of India's income is from Mumbai. The recent research. And 18 million people are here in Mumbai. So in the case of a war, this is a prime target. So how?
Chant Hare Krishna. Get more serious about your rounds. If you really so he tries to run away to the next city and this and that. You can't run away from your fortune. If you're going to die, Reiki Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Reikike. Arakike, sorry. You can't stop death. Maybe you can postpone it. Just like modern science is so proud of preserving the lives of people an extra 5 years, or whatever the time is, on lung machines, on heart machines, on what is the quality of life? Shastra tells us better to live in the world for one muhurt, in full consciousness. So, okay, within reason, we should try to live longer. There's no doubt. We need more time to be Krishna conscious. Individually, at least I do. But ultimately, we should understand, as Prabhupada said on more than one occasion, if a bomb comes, the devotee will look up in the sky and say, "Oh, here comes Krishna." And he'll really chant his round sincerely at that moment. And even if you don't remember Krishna, karna manasa kira, if you're fully engaged in your devotional service, even if you die of an epileptic fit, and you don't remember Krishna, Krishna will remember you. Krishna will remember you. You don't realize that you're under the protection of Krishna's lotus feet. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita vajanti ananya manaso. Because you're engaged in doing Krishna's service, chanting Hare Krishna, all day long, even the congregational members are thinking about their next visit to the temple, the next class they're going to attend, or, you know, this arrangement or that arrangement. Everybody's caught in Krishna's maya, Krishna's internal maya. So there's no need to be in distress. We should make preparations, but that can be assigned to a subcommittee, just like everything. Our most important work is book distribution. But some people have to cook. Some people have to publish the books. Some people have to preach once people read the books. Some people have to spend time, bring people to a higher platform. So somebody has to, if there's some impending danger, sure, we should make arrangements. But not like Kansa, that we're immediately ready to drop everything and go and attack the enemy. That's not the process, as far as I know. The devotee is very practical, very balanced. Any other questions? Yes?
You mentioned in your lecture that we should, are we ready to live in a hut as opposed to the opulence of the devil? And could it be that if Bodhi makes some advancement and sees actually living in the temple in a crowded city like Mapa is rather distasteful or unpleasant situation, and that the hut looks very nice?
Yes, that's possible.
Another question. Although there's different services, Srila Prabhupada, didn't he many times request that everybody somehow or another get out and do book distribution so that they can get some taste for that?
Yes, what's the question?
So my point was that although we require everything is in relationship with the preaching, even the dressing the deities as the pujari sees it, that he's trying to dress the deities very nicely to devotees so that they can go out and preach, sell books, preach Krishna consciousness. But still, that pays for preaching, don't we all have to somehow or other make a little bit of arrangement for that in our schedule so that we also get that taste while we're spreading Krishna consciousness by preaching in a direct way?
Yes, I think so. I think that's a good idea. The management should train the devotees in that spirit.
So talk about the leprosy area, which was full of leprosy.
Is leprosy contagious or not?
Yeah.
Modern science says no, but the traditional
is it is in fact the leper colony away from.
So if you're a modern scientist, you won't get it. But
so Maharaj, you said that you are not advocating like vaccination. Yes, vaccination. You said neem juice to drink that we eat neem leaves. So what about the what
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
You are not advocating allopathic vaccination. That's what you said.
I'm not advocating it, but if someone wants to take it, they can take it. Whatever works. I remember once that I had to get some kind of, hepatitis or something vaccination. And gamma globulin or something. So it turned out that it was chicken embryo, I learned later on. So, I wouldn't have taken it if I'd have known that. Now, I didn't take vaccination when I went to Russia, not in Russia, Africa. And I got yellow fever. But my body, my immune system destroyed it. And now I'm totally immune to yellow fever. So, Krishna has his way of doing things to guide his devotees. That was one point. We have to use our intelligence. If you feel you want to, it's an individual thing, but if you should learn everything you can about a particular course of medicine. Allopathy actually Prabhupada, to tell you the honest truth, Prabhupada did not have that much respect for allopathy, and he was a chemist. It's there in his books. He said the first thing is they take one chatak, I don't know what a chatak is, one chatak of blood. It's a measurement. Chatak. One part of blood. And then they give you so many nonsense medicines. He said, but in Ayurveda, simply they take the pulse and they can tell you your moment of death, when you will die. They can tell you everything. And he said formally that a doctor would cure you and then he would take paisa. Now they take tons of money in advance and give you injection and no guarantee of cure. So he was not so enthusiastic about allopathy. But if it works for something, then...
I have this question because we just had a...
I know.
And there's...
I know.
Two more to come.
Well, speak to the managers.
Maharaj, at the end of the lecture, he mentioned save yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are some devotees who are so much absorbed in service that they cannot attend morning programs. They say that
so much engaged in service that they cannot attend morning programs. I do not believe it.
I
would have to object from all my experience, from whatever I've read. Prabhupada said if you do not attend morning program, then you will have to fall down. Yeah. I can show you pages and pages of quotations where there is no exception. He said, all my disciples, whether they are big or whether they are small.
Yeah, the Brahmacharya has to quote.
Yes, I know, I put that there.
But Maharaj said that I do not care for my spiritual life, but I am showing thousands of people outside.
Where will you save them to? They certainly won't follow the morning program because they'll follow whatever you're doing. And pretty soon we'll have everybody, you know, saving everybody, but where to? The way to go back to Krishna is to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And Brahma Muhurta is meant for Krishna consciousness. Alright, I mean, I'm not going to say that there may not be one exception to the rule. There may be. But then that exception should say, that exception should not try to act like an acharya. He should declare boldly that my example is not good. I have this special work that I'm on. I've gotten permission from the GBC and from my spiritual master in the temple management, and therefore I'm doing like this, but I should not be followed. At least be honest. Not try to make the exception to the rule sound like it's glorious. It's like,
Maharaj, you said that everything happens in our life. You consider it as arrangement of Krishna. So somebody may ask this question. Somebody may say that everything happens in my life is an arrangement of Krishna. And why don't we accept everything that is happening in the life of the karmi as also an arrangement of Krishna? Why
are we? It is the arrangement of Krishna, but indirectly through the laws of karma. Krishna takes personal care of his devotees. Anukul and Pratikul.
Why do we try to preach to them? Because that is the thing.
We want them to take shelter of Krishna personally. Why get kicked by the material energy? We want them to go back to Godhead where they can fulfill all their material desires. Everything is the arrangement of Krishna. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. But he reciprocates with you according to your approach to him. So if you want to disobey his orders, then he'll reciprocate with you. You'll see the backside of Krishna. Or Krishna will, you will never find Krishna. With your samsara vartmani. We're trying to save people from that. They may think that what they're doing is good, and that's the illusion. People who are in the material world, there are many of them who, from time to time in their life, think that they're doing very well. They're enjoying. They believe it. But they cannot see just around the corner that everything is smashed, and they forget in the past when they were smashed. Their knowledge is stolen by illusion. But we also, our knowledge is stolen sometimes, but because we have Bhagavad Gita, where it is written very clearly what is happening and what will happen, we've got a little bit of sense. The moment we give up reading Bhagavad Gita, the moment we give up associating with devotees, we'll also fall under the spell of illusion. So now that we are in a sound condition of mind, we're trying to help others. We're both getting handled by Krishna, just like the cat and the kitten and the rat. The kitten and the rat feel the teeth of the cat differently. The teeth of the cat are controlled in both circumstances. She controls her teeth as she bites into the rat, and she controls her teeth as she picks up her kitten. Krishna's controlling everything that's happening. When someone's killed in a car accident, that's Krishna's arrangement. When someone's legs are cut off in a train, that's Krishna's arrangement. When someone's starving, that's Krishna's arrangement. It's like in a hospital. You see various conditions of suffering. And someone's fasting, someone's legs are in traction, someone's in quarantine, someone's on drip, someone is a drip. It's all Krishna's arrangement. It's all the doctor's arrangement. The doctor has the well-being of the patients in mind. Krishna knows what is best for all of us. Actually, all of this pain and suffering and misery is nothing. It's fantastic. We make it much more than it is. We're so attached. We're attached to our suffering. This is the wild thing. We're attached to suffering. It doesn't sound like it, but when you analyze it and go deeply into it, if you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other. If you're attracted to the sense gratification of the body, you have to accept the sense deprivation of the body. The miseries of the body. So, all of this, I mean, you know, it's a concoction. It's too much. If you just relax, if you just withdraw your senses from the sense objects, like the tortoise, if you just try to see what is happening in the material world, how you are being controlled, how others are being controlled, how like bamboo in the forest rubbing together, troubles are coming, how like fire engines in the night ringing, nobody wants fire, but fire is always there. Miseries are there in this material world. You can't avoid them, so why get in distress? Just tolerate them and figure out how to get out of the material world. That's the point. You don't belong here. Don't worry about the distress. You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. You can't change the nature of this place. But you can change your situation. You can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam.